How many of you are looking forward to walking in that place one day? In a little while, we'll find our place in Romans chapter 15 again and a few other places. But before that, I do want to take some time tonight to take a little bit of time to look back, as we've done so many times in the past. And so I've got a little PowerPoint presentation to help do that tonight. And as we Vision 2020. It's 2022, so just please ignore the wrong date there. We're looking back, not quite that far, but looking back to last year. And I'll say more about this as we go along tonight. I'm going to share a lot of numbers with you because I'm a numbers guy. I like numbers. But I want you to remember that it's not about numbers. It's about people. And numbers aren't everything. They can be a good indicator to kind of show us some things and kind of a reality check a little bit. But just looking back at this past year compared to the year before, we look at our Sunday school average. 2020 was at 78 and went down to 70. Morning worship was at 97 and went down to 95. Evening worship was at 71 and stayed at 71. Wednesday in 2020, we weren't able to really keep good records because 2020 was a little bit of a rough time, but we averaged 70 this year. And in 2020, we didn't track the number of people who went on outreach, but this year we averaged 17 on outreach every Sunday. That's outstanding. And I praise God for that because there was a time when the average outreach every week was zero. And there was a time that it was more. There was a time it was less. But so we praise God for that. I think we had 18 or 19 today. So praise God for that. And always going to encourage you to be a part of that. I believe that we ought to be witnesses every day as we go about our daily life. Every one of us. When we go to work, when we go to school, when we go to the store, as we go through our life while you're on social media, we ought to be influencing people towards Christ. We ought to be witnesses with our lives and with our lips. And so that's important. I also believe in organized outreach. I believe that Jesus taught us that. You remember, he gathered them together and sent them out two by two. He did that more than once to show us that pattern. And so I want to challenge you always to come and be a part of that organized outreach on Sunday afternoons. I know your Sunday afternoon naps are very important, but reaching people with the gospel is even more important. Amen. Hard to not say amen to that, isn't it? See what I did there? Sunday school attendance for the year, I just show you the monthly averages. As you can imagine, it's been up and down as COVID has continued to have an impact and other things as well. But we are, just in the last couple of months, starting to see a tick back up, and so we're thankful for that. Same with our morning worship attendance, up and down. But praise God, our highest average for the past year was last month in December. So that's really unusual, and so that's a good sign that we're moving in the right direction, and so we praise God for that. Moving on to our evening worship attendance, the same thing, kind of ups and downs through the year. Seemed like the middle of the year was pretty good, but again, we're moving back in the right direction this past month, so I thank God for that. As I mentioned, it's not really about attendance, but that does have an impact, because the reality is, showing up at church doesn't mean that you're walking with Jesus. It doesn't necessarily, in other words, you could sit in the pew and not be walking with Jesus every day, but I submit to you that if you're walking with Jesus every day, you're going to want to be with other believers. You're going to want to be faithful in church attendance. You're going to want to gather with the saints to worship the Savior. And so the attendance isn't the end-all be-all, but it is a good indicator, so we want to look at that. Continuing to look back, I love these numbers just to remind us. In 2020, we gave out 94 devotional books. This year, we were only able to give out 52, but that's 52 devotional books families got to walk through the scriptures together. And I know a lot of families did that. That every day they spent time together in the Word of God, and that's such an encouragement. In 2020, we gave out a little over 7,000 tracts. This year, we gave out almost 9,000 gospel tracts when it went out. I don't know if those numbers mean a lot to you, but you need to understand that's a gospel tract, gospel presentation that went out of these doors into the community and communities all around, and praise God for that. That's a great number for us, and we just pray that God will continue to bless. In 2020, we gave out 36 of the Dunn books, and this year we only gave out 16, so pray we can give out more of those this year. These Dunn books are one of the best. It's just a little book, and if you haven't read one, you need to get one and read it for yourself. But these make a very clear, very good, very easy to understand gospel presentation, and we try to give those out to everybody that we can. And we only got to give out one Bible this year, but if anybody needs a Bible, you let us know, and we'll get that to you. Water bottles, if you're not familiar with that, we get water bottles labeled with the gospel and the church information on them. We hand those out primarily at Cruise Night, and we got to hand out a little under 800 this year. 777, that sounds like a good godly number, doesn't it? And so we got to do that this year, so praise God for that. Looking back, just of the people that we know in 2020, there were 8 people who made professions of faith, and this year there were 4 that we know of. Go ahead, you say amen to that. Listen, it doesn't matter if it's 1 or 4 or 40, every soul, every person who professes Christ, we rejoice in that. So thank God for that. 2020, we baptized 1. This past year, we were able to baptize 6. That's exciting. That's definitely moving in the right direction. We had 4 join in 2020 by letter of statement, 1 this past year. And then in 2020, we had 86 first-time guests. And this year, we had 72 first-time guests here at Calvary. And that's just awesome. We praise God for it. This year's had a lot of ups and downs. You know, a lot of people ask me, how are things going at the church? I hope you're not too offended by this. I'm going to tell you what I say. I'm going to be honest. When people say, how's things going at the church? I usually say, what's? I said, we have the good, the bad, and the ugly. I'll let you decide who's who. No. I'm sorry, Bill Don. No. I tried really hard not to look at you when I said ugly. Emotionally, I mean spiritually, I mean financially, I mean in every way except for how you look, I mean the good, the bad, and the ugly. There's a lot of things that are going really good. There are a lot of things that aren't good. There are other things that are really not good sometimes, and we have ups and downs, and that's the reality of the world that we live in. That's the reality of our lives as fallen creatures, and even though we're saved by grace, we still have these carnal minds and bodies that we deal with, and we've had some great times, and we've had some difficult times. We've had some times of rejoicing, and we've had some times of sorrow, and that's why the scripture tells us to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep, and we've been through that this year. I mean, we've had 6 people that were baptized right here in this baptistry. We've also had 6 people who've gone to be with the Lord. Most of them, the majority of them, had not been able to be in their place in church all of last year and the year before, most of that. And now they're with our Savior. And so as we look back, I look back at some times with great sorrow. And I look back at some times with great rejoicing. And I understand that as we go into a new year, we face more of the same, right? It's going to be times of sorrow. There's going to be times of great rejoicing. And so we want to be grateful for the blessings. And we look back at some of those indicators. I think the number of gospel tracts we hand out is a great indicator of where we're at as a church. I think that our attendance is a decent indicator. Like I said, it's not the end-all be-all, but it has an impact. Like it, that shows something about what's happening in the church. But I think that looking back at those numbers is okay, but I want to ask you a few other questions, and I know some of you like to take notes, and maybe you'd write down some of these questions for yourself to consider. But some better questions, I think, than what was our attendance like? How's the building fund? You know, what's the financial statement look like? Those kinds of questions are fine, but some better questions, I think, would be, have we been focused on the mission Jesus gave us? Are we mission-minded? Are we just worried about what we're watching on the news, and we scared about what's going on in the world? Are we more concerned about what we're going to get for ourselves out of this year? Are we focused on ourselves and what's happening in our own lives? Or are we mission-minded? Are we focused on what Jesus has called us to do? And I can't answer that for you. I can't say from where I'm standing whether you're mission-minded or not, but we all need to ask ourselves, have I been mission-minded this past year? And if I haven't been, then how am I going to be focused on the mission Jesus gave me in 2022? The next question I would ask is, have we been accountable to God and to one another? We live in a society today where there's not a lot of accountability. It doesn't really matter. It's live and let live. You do you and I'll do me. And listen, as followers of Jesus and as members of the body of Christ, we don't have that liberty. We belong to Jesus. And in belonging to Jesus, we belong to one another. And we ought to be accountable to one another. And I don't care if the world lives, anything goes. That's not the way we live. And so I need to live my life accountable to God. I need to live my life accountable to one another. And I'm thankful that I've got some people in my life that I can be accountable to. I'm thankful. I don't always like it in the moment, but I'm thankful when there's people in my life who can just call me out when I'm being a knucklehead. My wife is in the nursery with the littles tonight, but I'm thankful I have a wife that helps to keep me accountable. Sometimes you need your wife to let you know when you're being a jerk. There's like three guys that say amen to that, and I was hoping for a little more support. We need to be the kind of people that can hold each other accountable. There need to be some men in this church that can talk to other men and say, hey, how's your relationship with your wife? How are you treating your kids? There needs to be some accountability in the church where some people in the church can talk to each other about, hey, how's your Bible reading going? What have you been studying in the Word? Hey, did you get a chance to talk to anybody at work this week about Jesus? I mean, there ought to be some accountability. And by the way, it's not just for adults. There ought to be young people that do that. Hey, did you ever talk to that friend at school? Have you talked to them yet? We need to have accountability. It really boils down to this. It really gets down to it. But have we been real disciples? Have I been following Jesus this year? Have I been walking with Jesus day by day? Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Have I been abiding in his word, continuing in his word? In other words, hearing his word every day and walking in his word, knowing what he wants me to do and being obedient by the power of his spirit. Have we been real disciples? Have we made disciples? We're going to talk more about it tonight, but our mission as a church is to make disciples. And if we're not making disciples, then we haven't been doing what God's called us to do. And so I don't know that numbers really tell us this. The question is, are there people following Jesus now that weren't following Jesus a year ago? And we all have that responsibility to carry together. Have we loved one another? Have we loved one another? Now, I think that if I went around the room and took a poll, that the majority of you would say that I love the people in this room. I'd say that. I love them. But the other question that goes with it is how? Because I can feel love for you, and I can say that I love you, but love is a verb. Love is action. Love isn't a feeling. Love is something we do, and so if I love you, then that's going to be demonstrated. By the way, that's one of the reasons that attendance is a valid indicator, because if I love you, I'm going to want to gather with you. That's one of the reasons attendance is so important, because if I love you, if we love one another, then we want to gather with one another. We want to be around people that we love. So that's one of the reasons it's a valid indicator. It's not everything. But how have we loved each other? Have we, I don't know. I heard a long time ago in a sermon that children spell love T-I-M-E. Children spell love T-I-M-E. And for the guys that went to Bragg's, that's time. You're welcome. That was for me too, brother. Children spell love time, but it's really not just children, is it? You spend time with people that you love. You show love by spending time with people. By taking the time to send somebody a text message. By taking the time to give somebody a call. By taking the time to do something really old-fashioned and sit down and write down a note. By taking the time to go see somebody. By taking the time to spend time together. Just something really tiny like this. Instead of rushing out the door, spend time to just talk to somebody for a minute. I mean, they're very small things, but that time that we invest in other people shows that we love people. When somebody has a need, and I do, I genuinely believe that the people in this church love each other. I genuinely do, and I really believe that if I ever had a need, that I could call almost anybody in the church and they would help me. Almost anybody. There's a couple of you, it would depend. If I called you and said, hey, can you help me? Some of you would say, it depends. Because you're just honest, and there's limits to your love. We're also honest with each other. Have we loved one another, and how have we done it? Have we been faithful and obedient to the Word of God? Have we been faithful and obedient to the Word of God? And I think if we're honest, as we look back, would you agree with me that the answer to most of these questions is yes and no? There was that one Tuesday. It was a good day. You know? There's been days when things have been good. There's been days when we did well in one area and not so well in another. There's been days when I've fallen on my face in all of these areas. And so we've had our ups and downs. That's reality of it. And praise God for His grace. Amen. That though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises up again. Why? Because of the grace of God. Amen. And listen, we're not perfect. We're not. We're not without sin. We're not without failure. But we can move forward. It's about progress. And we've got to be moving forward for the sake of the gospel. So as we look back on those things, I hope some of you have jotted those questions down and will seriously contemplate them, prayerfully consider them as we look back. Now I want to encourage you tonight to look ahead. As we look ahead, as a church, we need to be on mission. We need to be about the work that God has called us to do. Our mission as the Lord's church belonging to Him is seeking to serve Christ with a clear focus on fulfilling His purposes and striving to fulfill those purposes through faithfulness to biblical pathways. Now, what am I talking about? Purposes and pathways. In other words, we need to know what it is that God has called us to do, but then we need to figure out how we're going to do those things. It's purposes and pathways. It's mission and method. It's the goals that we want to reach, the things we want to achieve, and how we're going to get there. I think in my life, in the ministry, I've learned a lot and thought a lot about the mission, about the purpose, about these are the things that we want to accomplish. But a lot of times there's not clearly defined paths to how to accomplish those things. And really the reality is, guys, it's not complicated. God has made His plan very simple. Praise God that He's made it very simple. And so let me share with you just a couple of things. Our purpose, I believe, as a church, is number one, to love God. Our number one purpose as the followers of Jesus, as the body of Christ, as a local church, is to love Jesus. And number two, very simply, to make disciples. To love God and to make disciples. Would you just consider that with me? You guys are familiar with Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22, verse 36, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus saith unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The most important thing for us in our lives as believers in Jesus is to love God. With every part of our being, to love Him. And then Jesus goes on and says, The second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So if you might look at that, those purpose statements that I've submitted to you and say, well, loving God and loving others, but here's what I believe. I believe the way that we love others is to help them become followers of Jesus. That making disciples is our mission as a church. It's our purpose as a church. We love God and we make disciples. And there's no greater way for me to love somebody else than to invest in their life to help them to get to salvation and through salvation to following Jesus with their life so that they can help somebody else follow Jesus. There's no greater love than I can show than to give somebody the gospel and help them to follow Jesus. So loving God and making disciples, that's our purposes as a church. Now, how do we do that? What's our pathway to do that? First of all, it's through worship. Second of all, it's through living on mission. And thirdly of all, it's through depending on God. We worship, that's how we show our love to God. We live on mission, that's how we show our love to God and to others. And we depend on God through it all because we cannot do it on our own. We think about this pathway of worship. I want to give you some practicalities in how we do that. I think one of the greatest ways that we can worship God and show our devotion to God is through prayer and fasting. Through prayer and fasting. I said that we show our love to one another by time, spending time together. I think that one of the greatest ways to show we love God is by spending time talking to Him. That we devote our time to prayer. A lot of you guys have been around for more than a couple of years. I just wonder if you examine your own heart and mind and your life, if your prayer life was better in 2021 than it was in 2020. And if your prayer life was better in 2020 than it was in 2019. And if it was better in 19 than it was 18, I wonder if our prayer life has gotten better or if it's gotten worse or if it's kind of plateaued, if it's stagnated. I submit to you that if your prayer life isn't improving, it's probably declining. There's something about Christians. There's something about us as we try to walk with Jesus. We're either climbing that mountain, we're either moving on to higher ground, or we tend to be sliding back. It's really hard for us to set it on cruise control. It's really hard for us to get to flight level and stay there. We're usually going up or we're going back. You guys agree with that? I don't know what it is. But I think that's what happens. I think we kind of reach this level and we think, I'm pretty good right here. I'm just gonna hang here. I've got kind of my routine. I'm going to stick with that. But for some reason, we don't routine very well when it comes to spiritual matters. We tend to slide back. And so we've got to be moving forward. We've got to have a commitment to prayer and fasting. I believe that's true for us as a church. It's one of the reasons we started our prayer meetings 30 minutes before the services, so we would be focused on that and dedicated to that. It's one of the new things I want to make sure that we really focus on, especially on Wednesday nights and our midweek services, that we have a special emphasis on spending time together in prayer. I think it's vital. I think it's vital. But it's more than us praying corporately. It's about you praying as a family and individually. Every one of us have to have our time with God. That we would get into our prayer closet, and our Father, which sees in secret, will reward you openly. That we have time dedicated to prayer. I've challenged you with fasting, and we'll provide those practical steps, those practical matters of fasting to you periodically throughout the year, just to remind you of some of those things and the different types of fasting that you can do. Because there's full-on fast where you go without food or drink for a set period of time, 24 hours or more. There's partial fast where you'd go without food for a part of the day or for a day. There's all kinds of fast, minor fast, where you would just do without certain things for a period of time. And that's between you and God. But I think every one of us, wherever we're at, ought to be dedicated to some form of fasting regularly. And I believe that if we create a culture, if it becomes part of our DNA as a church to be people who fast and pray, we'll see the blessings of God. And it may not be something anyone else can see, but we'll see it. You understand what I'm saying? It's going to impact you. It's going to impact your family. It's going to impact our church. And I believe it'll be greater than that. We worship through prayer and fasting. We worship by assembling to exalt Christ and exhort one another. Exhorting one another, you know, Jesus is glorified when we love one another, when we have one heart, one mind. Jesus is exalted when we preach His word. Jesus is exalted when we open our mouths and we sing praises to Him. That when we come together, we come for, number one, to exalt Jesus. And we come, number two, to exhort and encourage one another. Our worship is prayer and fasting. It's assembling. And it's daily, individual, and family worship. I hope all of you have gotten a daily Bible reading plan. And if you're not following the chronological plan that we provided this year, I hope you're following something. Because all of us need to spend time in God's Word every day. All of us need to spend time in God's Word every day. I hope you've gotten the devotional cards. I hope you're using those. They've been a blessing to us. It's very simple, and I like simple. You read some scripture, you discuss it with your family, and it's a beautiful thing. And I love it. I love sitting down with the Melissa and the kids and reading these verses, and usually one of the kids will read the verses. Maggie's even been reading some of the verses. It's awesome. And we go through the discussion questions. What's this teach us about God? What's it teach us about us? And I love it as a family. You know, I feel a lot of pressure as the pastor to, I'm supposed to have all the answers, right? I'm supposed to know it all. But I'm glad that all of you know that I don't know it all. And you've lowered your expectations to a more realistic level. But it's so awesome to have those discussions with my family, because sometimes the kids and Melissa see things that I don't see. They bring things out that I hadn't thought of, and it's awesome. I love it. And so we talk about the Word of God. We talk about what we're thankful for and how God's blessed, and we worship God, but we've got to get past the notion that worship is only what we do when we come together for church. Worship is how we live every day. Worship is our life as followers of Jesus. So our pathway as far as worship goes, prayer and fasting, assembling, coming together to exalt Christ and exhort one another, daily, individual, and family worship. And our pathway is about living on mission, being mission-minded. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Jesus says, go and teach all nations. And we've studied it so many times, but that first word, teach, is the verb form of disciple. What Jesus literally says is go make disciples of every nation. He's called us to do this work, and so we need to be people who are mission-minded. You don't just need a pastor who's mission-minded and leaders in the church who are mission-minded, but every person needs to be mission-minded. That our purpose in life is to make disciples who make disciples. That's what I want to do, but not as a pastor, as a follower of Jesus. And that's what you ought to want to do, because you're a believer and you're following Jesus, so you ought to be seeking to make disciples. Every person doing the work of the ministry, every person being on mission, being mission-minded. That means as we go through our day-to-day lives, as we go week to week, we're seeking the lost. We ought to be seeking the lost. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. We ought to always be looking for opportunities to share Christ with others. And I just wonder, when do you think those opportunities come? I mean, does it have to be Sunday organized outreach? We're going door to door. That's the only time you can find lost people? I don't know if you've been outside of your house in the last, you know, ever, but there are lost people everywhere. If you go to the gas station, if you go to the grocery store, if you go to your job, if you go to school, there are people who need Jesus everywhere we go. So we've got to seek the lost. We've got to be mission-minded. One of the ways I know whether I'm mission-minded or not is whether I have gospel tracts on me. Listen, if I go in the store and I don't have gospel tracts in my pocket, I know I'm not being mission-minded. I just wonder, have any of you ever had to go back to the car to get some tracts because you forgot to take them in? Yeah. Yeah, me too. But that's good. Because if you think of it and you go back and get them, that means you're being mission-minded. If we're looking at people and wondering where they're at with Christ, we're looking for those opportunities to talk to them about Jesus, we always need to be mission-minded, seeking the lost. We're mission-minded, living on mission by seeking the lost. We're mission-minded by serving, by doing good in Jesus' name. Jesus, he teaches us that when we do good, other people will see our good works and they'll glorify our Father which is in heaven. When we do good as unto the Lord. We do good in Jesus' name. We love others. I think good deeds stand out in the world today. Do you? I think we live in a world today, there's not a lot of people that are doing good to other people. A lot of people are very selfish and very self-centered, and that ought not be us. We ought to be concerned about others. We ought to be looking for opportunities to serve others, to do good to others, to help others. But I'm not going to do that if I'm not mission-minded. If I'm mission-minded, I'm going to be looking for opportunities. If I'm self-centered, if I'm self-focused, then I'm just worried about me and mine. And we've got to be people who are looking to serve others. We seek the lost, we serve, we speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. I'm still on social media. I know some of you have quit social media, and I'm a little bit jealous, but I still want to maintain a presence on social media to try to have a good influence where I can and try to not be negatively influenced too bad where in other ways. But that's for another discussion, I guess. But when I speak the truth, I want to do it in love. Because I see a lot of Christians on social media in particular who are saying true things, but they're not doing it in a right way. And we need to be the kind of people who speak the truth, but we do it in love. We can't look past the fact that whoever we're dealing with is somebody Christ died for. And we show them love in the way that we talk to them, in the way that we treat them. I think it's really important we consider seeking the lost and serving and speaking the truth. Remember, we're kingdom-minded. We're focused on Jesus and his kingdom, and his kingdom's bigger than us. His kingdom's bigger than us. I think so many times, even when we try to get mission-minded, we're only focused right here on us. And we don't want to waste our time on somebody who's not going to come and be a part of us. But that's not it. It's about everybody. They may not even live. You know, you could try to reach somebody for Jesus that doesn't even live in Muldrow. You know, we can try to have an impact on somebody for the kingdom's sake instead of for our own sake. So if we're not careful, all of this becomes very self-centered sometimes. Our motives become wrong. Even in trying to reach the lost, it can be about us. Am I doing the right thing? Am I going? Am I handing out all the gospel tracts? Am I appeasing my conscience? And it's not about us. It's about Jesus and it's about others. The next way that we live on mission is something that's going to be a little out there for some of us. But set times to meet with others weekly. We have our men's disciple meetings on Monday nights, and that's been a great thing. To meet with a small group of men and spend time together, sharing our hearts with each other and our burdens with each other and walking through Scripture together has been awesome. And I pray by the grace of God more people in the church can do that. Because here's the truth. We need more, not less. Exhort one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. Not so much the less. Listen, I think gathering for worship is awesome. I think gathering for worship is awesome. How do I have to say it? I think coming to church is really good. Like, we do too, or we wouldn't be here right now and still awake. Somebody turn on the air conditioner. I don't know. Some people want the heater and some people want the air conditioner. It's hard to keep y'all happy. Listen, I think coming to church is really good. I love Sunday school. And I love Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. I love it all, and I think it's really, really good. But I'm telling you, I believe we need more. I talked to you about accountability. Those accountability things that I'm talking about, they don't happen in this setting. They don't even happen in Sunday school. They happen with one or two other guys. And we need that. There's a level of accountability that can come in smaller meetings that can't come in bigger meetings. And so I pray that as we seek to live on mission, that every one of us this year will be able to set times to meet with others so that we can make disciples. Maybe you meet with a couple of ladies from the church and your neighbor. Or maybe some of you guys could start meeting with a couple of the fellas at your job. Or maybe some of you do something crazy, like go to the gym, and you can meet with some guys from the gym. Maybe it's some of the older kids got some friends from school, and they start to meet together. I just want you to start being minded that every one of us needs to be in the business of making disciples. And we do that by investing time in people. But what gets scheduled gets done. You have to have a time set aside, or it's never going to happen. Our pathway is to worship God, to live on mission. And our pathway is to depend on God. It's been said by a lot of people, and it's one of the things that when we had our missions conference, Brother James Taylor said several times, but it stuck with me. If we have the Word of God and the Spirit of God, we have everything. If we have the Word of God and we have the Spirit of God, we have everything we need. You think that's true? I mean, just think about it for a second, because we have a lot of other things, right? I mean, we got projector screens and PowerPoint and remote controls on our phones, and we got live streaming, and we've got curriculum, and I mean, we've got songbooks, we've got all kinds of tools that we use, and they're good tools. They are. But what if all of that was gone? And all you were left with was the Bible in your hand and the Spirit of God in your heart, would you have everything that you need? And the reality is that's it. If I have the Word of God and the Spirit of God, then I've got everything that I need to be a disciple and to make disciples. I've got everything I need to love God and to make disciples. I've got everything I need to be on mission, worshiping Him, living on mission, because I'm depending on Him completely. How do we depend on God? First of all, we saturate our hearts and minds with the Word of God. Saturate your heart and mind with the Word of God. I promise you, if your faith isn't strong, you're not spending time in the Word of God like you should. I guarantee it. I guarantee you, if your faith is struggling, if your faith is wavering, if it's not where it ought to be, read your Bible more. Listen to more sermons. It'll change your life. Saturate your heart and mind with the Word of God. Read it. Those devotional cards that you've been given, there's one verse on the backside of every week. That'd be a great verse for you to work on memorizing, to work on remembering and putting it in your heart. How do we do it? We saturate our hearts and minds with the Word of God. We die to self. We die to self, and we ask God to help us to be filled with the Spirit of God. We die to our selfish desires, our selfish intentions, our selfish motives, and we ask God to fill us with His Holy Spirit. And when we die to self and we're filled with the Spirit, then we can be led of the Spirit. And when we're led of the Spirit, we can be empowered and energized by the Spirit of God. Because the reality is this. I pray that God would help us to be a church that loves God, that we worship Him in spirit and in truth, and we're faithful to Him. I pray that God will help us to be a church that's living on mission, that we're doing the work that Jesus left us to do, that we love God, we love our neighbor, we're making disciples. I pray God can help us to be that kind of church. But I recognize the reality that we can't do it. We can't do it on our own. We don't have the strength. We don't have the stamina. We need His empowering. We need His energy to get it done. And so we've got to die to self and be filled with the Spirit. This is our abounding in hope. This is how we do the work that God's called us to do. I'm thankful for the blessings of the past year. I'm thankful for God's sustaining grace through the hard times. I'm thankful for the joy He's given us in the good times. And I am hopeful for what He's going to accomplish through all of us as we yield to Him in the new year. Look with me at just one verse very quickly. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do tonight. I'm going to ask you to find Romans 15 and 13 and stand together with me. And before you get nervous, I'm not starting a sermon. I just want you to read this verse out loud together with me tonight before we have a verse of invitation. And if our musicians want to go ahead and head this way, that'll be just fine. But we're going to read this out loud together, okay? Everybody ready? All the rest of you ready too? All right, here we go. Ready? Begin. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. I pray tonight the God of hope would give you joy and peace because you trust in His word. I pray tonight that you would abound in hope, super abound in anticipation for what God's going to do in your life this year. And you know that He's going to do it because you're depending on the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't know what this kind of service does for your heart, but it's a mix of emotions for me because I feel guilty for the ways that I've failed my Savior in the past year. But I feel grateful for what He has done in spite of me. And I feel a little nervous about the next year because I know I've messed up in the past and I'm worried that I won't do very well in the future. But I'm also hopeful because I know that if I'll just depend on Him, He can do great things in spite of me. And so it's this up and down and mixture. But at the end of it all He wants us to do is believe and obey. And so I just want to challenge you tonight, if He's convicting your heart, maybe there's some things you need to get right with Jesus for this past year. Maybe you just want to come and give Him thanks and praise Him for what He's done this past year. Maybe you want to come and ask Him to help you in the new year. But whatever God's put on your heart tonight, I pray you'll respond in faith and obedience while we sing.